Today on The Dark Side of, a California nun, age 80, sentenced for stealing more than $800,000 from a Catholic school to fund her gambling addiction. Four teachers in Connecticut school district are arrested since November, most recent accused of pulling a 12-year-old's hair. And a Mormon teen who traveled to the UK to share her faith online with boyfriend found murdered in his bed.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of.
That indeed it is. Thank you guys for joining us and pressing subscribe or follow wherever you download the podcast. We do greatly appreciate that. And if you want the bonus content, the advanced episodes and other bonus stuff, check out our Patreon page. Go to Patreon, go to the app and search Dark Side Of, or go to darksidepod.com. Tony and Sean with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
I just got a call from a phone number I didn't recognize and did the Google. And that's interesting. So that'll be a fun phone call after we chat here today.
Did you Google who it was?
I did.
And did you find out who it was?
Because I narrowed it down.
Whenever I Google stuff,
why I would get a call from them.
Well, you gotta fill us in a little bit more than that now.
Oh, do I?
If you're gonna bring it up, you can't just like. I'm just going to tease this and never say anything else.
As Maury Povich said back in 1997, I was not the father. So I don't need to tell you shit. Your Honor.
There you go. Maury said it. So
it's for the 99 calls you get that you're like, oh, great, my car insurance needs to be extended or my warranty. Yeah, there's the one where it's like, oh, interesting. Why?
Yeah.
It's a work related thing, and it's a perhaps enjoyable work related thing. So,
oh, well, that's a positive.
See what comes of it.
You're not finding out that you have a brood of children somewhere.
We put them in the dumpster. They said you'd be back in 09. So
you got a whole
that was only 13 years ago. They're good for about 90.
Turns out you have like a whole ranch of children in Montana.
Hola, papa. I'm not of that descent.
That'd be an interesting phone call to get, but there you go. I want to mention this. I'm on Cameo now, so if you'd like me to say anything crazy or ask me any question or do whatever you want, you can search me on Cameo. Go to search Tony Bruschi or a Bruski. And we can communicate that way. I think you do direct messages and stuff, too. It's kind of cool. It's like a direct line of communication. So check that out. Let's go to our first story. California, a nun, 80 years old, sentenced for stealing more than $800,000 from a Catholic school fund to fund her gambling addiction. Sister Mary Margaret Krupper pled guilty for using funds to pay for gambling trips to Las Vegas, Lake Tahoe, and Temecula. And when you look at Sister Mary Margaret Krupper, she totally just looks like the woman, you'd see at the grocery store. That back when we were kids, I remember they would wear their, what is the outfit called that nuns wear?
Nunnery? Nunwear?
I always forget this.
Stand by. Let me go to nunwear.com and see
habit.
The latest.
It's called a habit. that's what a nun's habit, H-A-B-I-T. That's what it's called. The black and white is the outfit is
really?
Called a habit. Yes.
Just so you're aware, nunwear, nunwear.com.
Well, it's funny. You just find, now you go to, you search this and all you get is like pictures of like sexy nuns with their legs very much exposed
outfit.
And boobs. And it's like, yeah, this, it's a little different. Anyway, I can't say I quite understand that fetish. I can look
at this woman and go as going to a Catholic elementary school. I wasn't talking about any fetish. It was merely the equivalent of, oh, what's a park ranger's uniform called?
No, no, no. I'm saying like what you search now. When you search this, this is what you find. It's like half the pictures are women in like slutty nun outfits.
That does not look like my second grade teacher.
No,
you are correct.
No, that would be a little different.
And if it did, I would have a totally different childhood.
I think it would be a little different then. Mary Margaret Krupper. Despite taking a vow of poverty, the 80-year-old was sentenced on Monday for stealing more than $800,000 to pay for personal expenses, including gambling trips. Mary Margaret Krupper of Los Angeles was sentenced to 1 year and a day in prison after pleading guilty in July 2021 to one count of wire fraud and one count of money laundering, according to a press release from the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Central District of California. I have sinned, I have broken the law, and I have no excuses, Krupper told U.S. District Judge Otis D. Wright II, Los Angeles Times reported. I was wrong. I am profoundly sorry for the pain and suffering I've caused so many people. For a period of 10 years, starting in 2008, Krupper embezzled money from the St. James Catholic School, where she was the school's principal, a position she held for 28 years. She diverted school funds into the St. James convent account and the St. James savings account, which were used to pay for expenses that the order would not have approved, much less paid for, including large gambling expenses incurred at casinos and certain credit card charges, the Department of Justice stated. Krupper stole about $83,000 per year, which is the equivalent of tuition for 14 students, prosecutors argued. In addition to stealing $835,399, she falsified monthly and annual reports and instructed employees to alter and destroy financial records during a school audit. Before Krupper was sentenced, parents of children attending St. James and former students sent letters about Krupper's role at the school and the impact of her actions. Kevin Kearns, who enrolled his son in kindergarten in 2011, says he has used this as a teachable moment and asked for leniency for Krupper, the LA Times reported. The church tells us to forgive those who have trespassed against us, Kearns said, and I use this to teach my son that we're all human and we make mistakes, but the power of forgiveness is the most powerful tool that we have. A 12-year-old said Krupper was just like any other robber. Krupper's attorney, Mike Byrne, explained that his client, who retired in 2018, had been under strict supervision at her convent. He added that an expert report explained that she had a gambling addiction. This is not an excuse for what she did, he said. This is merely an explanation. Krupper, who used funds to pay for trips to Las Vegas, Lake Tahoe, and Temecula, says she will use the rest of her days trying to make amends. I apologize for the scandal, the embarrassment, and the financial burden that I have placed on the sisters in my religious community, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, St. James School, the parishioners, parents, and students who placed their trust in me, she said. Do you get fired? Can you get fired as a nun for something like, I mean, is that a thing? I mean, can they say, we're sorry, you're not a nun anymore?
Let's see here. Can you get fired?
You can be excommunicated.
A nun.
Would this be an excommunicable offense, though?
If one leaves their solemn vows, they have obviously, by that very fact, excommunicated themselves and would no longer be in good standing with the church.
Okay, so the vow of poverty, right? Did they take the vow of poverty? I would think so.
Technically, a nun can break her vows and or leave the order whenever she wants, including embezzling $83,000 a year. There is also plenty of opportunities to drop out, that would probably fall under, or of becoming a nun, such as when you're in the earlier stages and you've only taken your temporary vows. Was this probationary nun period for Sister?
She was 80.
Rule breaker?
No.
So maybe, perhaps.
No.
Possibly.
No. Not at
all.
Here's
the deal. Pandemics, everybody has a new hobby. There's been some career changes. You have to pivot. There's a Friends episode that I've never seen, but a lot of people use it in pop culture where you've been an architect for 27 years and then worldwide pandemic because of a bat in Wuhan. And then you go from erecting churches to being an everlasting part of it. So perhaps Sister Krupper was playing with the expense account a little too much in Johnson & Johnson Architects, and she wanted to continue that at St. Johnson's.
I wonder if anything goes through the mind when you're of that age going, I'm a nun, I'm old. What's the worst they're going to do to me if I get caught? And that's a big, like, if you get caught, you know? Like, I'm just going to start doing this. Like, I've had the idea, like, when I'm really old, like, super old, and, you know, like, it's going to be, like, you're going to be gone eventually. Like, what would happen if you, I suppose they could go in after whatever finances you have. But I was going to say, like, what if you racked up just a bunch of credit card bills and then died? And no one's, I mean, your family's not on the line for that, are they?
It's interesting. There are two brains in the world. There's two brains in the world. There are brains that hypothesize and think, what if? Or there are brains who don't. So
I was going to say that too.
In this story, that would be, you would be the former, I would be the latter. Uh-huh. I have no idea. I have no idea
how that would work.
80-year-old nun, someone who, I would like to think that it doesn't matter if you are a mature aged person of faith, mm-hmm. as a nun, or you're a bored 22-year-old that just got dumped by your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
The mind, if you're in a certain mindset, you can do whatever the fuck you want. The rationale is not there. It's not, hey, there's Jesus. He's looking at me. I'm looking back at him. We're in a church. You can do whatever I want. I'm going to just, you know, I can live a life of recklessness. I can rack up $30,000 of credit card debt,
mm-hmm.
throw the best mixer here in the basement of the church after the 11 o'clock service on Sunday, and all is good. I don't think you have to be on the final years of your life to think of doing something that isn't necessarily the most fiscally responsible. But
sure, you don't. But I'm just, you know, but I've usually been pretty fiscally responsible. So I guess it's kind of one of those where it's like, what if I go crazy when I'm 94? You
know? And to some, that means going to the Wisconsin State Fair and eating 2 dozen cream puffs and that dying of a sugar too. Coma.
Yeah.
To somebody that is a little bit more frugal and fiscally responsible, that means racking up a $7,900 credit card bill. Ooh, I'm going to live reckless. I think it's all to the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, I get you. This next,
for me, it's, well, we'll save that to later. But what's next?
This next one is an interesting story, and it's not, I think, exactly where a lot of people would go with it. It's interesting because I think the story tells a lot about more so the conditions of this district and how this school handles things, more so students than anything else, and an atmosphere and environment that is forcing people to, you know, really kind of take actions into their own hands. And sometimes the optics of it are pretty bad, but we seem to be ignoring every other piece of optic that we're having problems with. We're just going to point a microscope right here and go, this is our problem. It's like, no, look at the big wide angle fish lens. There's your fucking problem. 4 teachers in a Connecticut school district arrested since November, most recent accused of pulling a 12-year-old's hair. Now, on the surface of this headline, sounds horrible. And you really shouldn't be pulling anyone's hair. And that's a given. A 49-year-old teacher is facing serious criminal charges in Connecticut after she was captured on video allegedly pulling the hair of a 12-year-old student. People confirms that Jennifer Wells Jackson was arrested on February 1st in charges of risk of injury of a minor and second-degree breach of peace. A source tells People the alleged incident unfolded inside King Robinson Inter-District Magnet School located in New Haven. Wells Jackson allegedly grabbed the girl by the hair during the altercation with the student, says the source. Students can be heard in the video yelling at Wells Jackson to let go. As she loosens her grip, it appears the teacher shoves the student. I watched the video. It looks like she's trying to break up something amongst the students who are all shouting and yelling in class. And she's a grown-up in the room. And it looks like, yeah, someone's hair got grabbed because she was trying to protect other students and move this kid away. But the YouTube of it is going to show just 3 seconds and not show the reason that the teacher may be trying to break something up or get in between students. I don't think she sent out that day to go pull anybody's hair. The victim's mother, Denise James, spoke to WTNH TV Action News. We're going to make your shit far bigger than it really is. There's certain things that you say, and there's certain things that you don't say. There's certain things that you do and certain things you're not supposed to do, especially when dealing with people's children, James said. At the end of the day, there's no justification for pulling or for putting your hands on someone's child. The teacher posted $20,000 bond for her release. People cannot reach Wells Jackson for comment. It's unclear Tuesday if she had a lawyer. No pleas have been entered on her behalf. Neither the superintendent of the schools, Dr. Ernell Tracy, nor the New Haven School Board's president, Yurisa Rivera, responded to requests for comment, but a statement was issued to Fox 61, reading, "The district takes student safety very seriously. The school and the district are cooperating fully with the investigation by the New Haven Police Department." Now, get this. This is the fourth teacher from this district to be arrested since November. Last month, a 31-year-old paraprofessional, Sunetta Powell, was charged with possession of a weapon on school grounds and breach of peace after allegedly bringing a gun to the Brennan Rogers School in New Haven. And when they questioned her, she said she did it for her own safety. She said she did not feel safe. Now, is it a good idea to bring a gun to school? No, it's not. But when you are putting these teachers into very dangerous situations with these almost adults, who many have access to weapons and who we don't seem to discipline and can't really discipline and can't tell them no because we might hurt their feelings or be taken as something that we're not, you have utter fucking chaos. And if you've looked into any of these schools, high schools in any recent times, or if you have kids in them, I mean, it really kind of depends on your school, but a lot of these are out of fucking control. And these parents and these educators and these parents that are trying to just get through their fucking day, and how many situations where you have young or smaller women, doesn't even have to be young, they can be older, trying to get in between some of these, you know, larger, more muscular young adults, essentially, that are fighting each other left and right. And oops, you know, you pulled somebody's hair so another kid didn't get hit to pull somebody away. I think it gets a little fucking crazy. A lot of these teachers that look like they were charged in the district, it seems to be, you know, yeah, you can't touch the kid. Of course you don't want to. But again, I think a lot of these, in my opinion, are going to wind up looking at these people were trying to do their job and protect themselves or other people. And when you're being attacked or someone's attacking someone else, you have to do your fucking job. And if that goes against the policy, I guess it goes against the policy. But what is the policy then? Just let them kill each other?
Well, I think this is no different than law enforcement. If there is, and this is extreme, but if somebody is killed, if a officer involved shooting, the officer is put on administrative leave. There's an investigation. They go through all the steps that they need to confirm. Yes, indeed, this is This is loss of life. It's you know, tragic, but it was justified XYZ. So similarly, I think the teachers, when you are put in this position, there will be proper protocol. The school district needs to do its steps that they have in place. And ultimately, you know, should it indeed follow through that this 5'2", 100-pound teacher is trying to get behind to whatever. Again, kids, when they're in a certain mood and they're just being grumpy, and it is what it is, stress with the pandemic that is building and building and building and building, hopefully it will come to see fit that, yes, hair was pulled and somebody may have been hurt a bit inadvertently because, oh, hi, this bigger issue was going on.
Well, that's
all good.
That's what's
teacher's
going on.
Good, and let's move along.
That's the problem. It's let's make an example out of things like this. And again, I'm not saying that anyone should be touching anyone's kid. But if there were two kids in front of me and one was trying to attack the other, I'm an adult. I would try and break it up. That's just your instinct. That's being a human being. That's being responsible, especially if you're the parental person there, but you're the teacher. And I know there's the protocol would be call the office, call for the the liaison officer called for the, well, guess what? He's probably already at, been called to five other rooms in the last 5 minutes. And what is Jody, the secretary, going to come down and break this up? What the fuck are you supposed to do? They put teachers in these positions that they're incapable of handling, not because they don't want to, but because they can't. Their hands are completely tied to fucking do anything. And it's fucking just run, you know, and do anything you want with these kids today. It's fucking insane.
This is a situation unlike no other where it's very easy to complain and be frustrated about the results. What's not easy and what there's a shit ton
good parenting
more
is the problem. And ultimately and it goes down to shitty fucking parenting.
You got there quicker than I.
Yeah.
It's very easy to use your thumbs to comment, oh my gosh, this is terrible, blah, 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 blah. And I don't mean to belittle the blah, blah, blah. It's just there's so many different fucking things. What is less sexy? What is more difficult? What you need to be more consistent, harder? Don't be lazy on parenting.
Yeah.
On the worst days when you just want to punch your son because he's being a little prick and you literally want to throw him in the garage and shut the door and just... Okay, take a deep breath. Show him how to properly handle or her any situation. Now, our disagreement's going to happen. Our fight's going to happen. Our situations that we're talking about here, is that impossible and never going to happen? No, it will. Yeah. But if you more often than not, and you don't need to be this prince of a parent, like you know, it's not.
Sure.
I want to say it's not rocket science, but just raise them. If you are welcomed with something different into your immediate daily life, don't want to put them down. Just welcome. Hey, I have no clue what this is, but I respect the fact that this is something to you. I have something. And then we work through it.
I think
doing that, ultimately, I think you're going to knock quite a large dent into all the tentacles of WTF-ery that happens on varying levels, not just in grade schools, but those grade schoolers are in college. And then, you know, the crazy things that happen there and so on. So, but again, that's not something that you can put together in a tweet.
No,
or
exactly.
A YouTube video. It is boring, old school, the same shit that our grandparents did to our parents, which kind of raised us to not be too fucked up, which we're a little bit. That's why you're listening. And I'm going to get my cameo from Tony Bruschi right after this episode to my dog, Quinn. Anywho, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's boring. Be a quasi-hospitable parent of your offspring.
Yeah.
And perhaps we will have less content to talk about like this on future episodes.
I think one of the big problems is we've relied on parents to be responsible. And I guess that's been a bridge too far. And generation failed generation. And then you end up having a generation that has no clue how to really be a parent responsibly. You know, certainly you have some that are great. And then you have a mass amount that are not. And it used to be like there was a handful that were not. And it was more the number of people were the responsibles. It switched. At some point in time, the tide has turned and it's the exact opposite now. And then you have these kids that are not getting the just like interpersonal skills, which you would get from a parent. And then they're trying to learn them at school, but there's no way to enforce anything or discipline anybody there. So it's just kind of, you know, children are running the show. We need more of a focus in our education system, I think, on that. What the parents are not teaching kids, we need to start teaching kids. Interpersonal things, how to deal with anxiety, how to deal with stress, how to deal with stressful situations, and how to cope. Because that seems to be the biggest problem, is nobody can cope with shit. It's always just, let's act out, and that's who I am. And parents aren't teaching it to a lot of kids, so maybe this is something we should... Maybe we can cut back on some of the extreme math. Maybe we can cut back on some of the, you know, other things that we put so much, you know, emphasis on that really don't fucking matter in life. And we look more at the things that actually do matter in life, interpersonal skills, and start working on that and not make that like a random elective that you can take for half a quarter of a semester in your junior year of junior high. You know, it's something that it's always just been kind of, well, yes, take that class if you want. It's nobody needs, it's a throwaway. These should be more in front of kids of here's how we handle this shit. And at an early age, not high school, not junior high. These things need to be taught earlier because
agreed.
It just, we're getting in this chaotic place where, yeah, the system's broken down. The parents aren't doing it. And you got to kind of look at it and go, I don't think a lot of these are ever going to do it because they don't know it themselves. They were never taught it. So the only way we're going to get this cycle, this thing back into the circle of existence and being taught to generation to generation is to teach them somehow, because mom and dad aren't doing it. So we should probably find another way to do it. And then have consequences too, because there's... I'm amazed. I have family that have worked in school districts. I have friends who work in school districts. I'm sure you do too. And the horror stories that you hear, it's like next to impossible in many cases to like get a detention or to get expelled or anything. It's like, well, we got to give them another chance. And meanwhile, all the kids who are trying to get their shit done are being terrorized, you know, by the students. And it's just like, well, we can't do anything because if we say something, we're going to look like, you know, we're discriminating or we're this or that. It's like, no, base it on fucking behavior. That's all. And I think that's what we want to do. Behavior. And you fix problems that way. And it just seems that we can't ever do that anymore. I don't know why.
Sister Cooper and I we're agreeing with you. We're just raising our hands right now saying, amen, brother.
Eventually.
Amen. Keep it going.
After your sister Krupa and you retire, you're like, fuck this. I'm going to take $800,000. I earned it.
Funny, I actually am in my new Audi right now that Sister Krupa just randomly dropped off.
Yeah.
No eye contact, but she paid cash.
So. Hey, gotta love Sister Krupa.
Jesus.
A Mormon teen who traveled to the UK to share faith with online boyfriend found murdered in his bed. Ashley Wadsworth, 19.
I just let you know that I really enjoy this positive time that we get together every week to talk about such uplifting and motivational stories. I just want to run through a brick wall after we get done with recordings.
It's the show.
And I hope all of you tuning in to listen to this sunshine and rainbow. It's a great start to my morning, so thank you.
Ashley Wadsworth, 19, was found stabbed to death in the home of a man she had met online. A Canadian teen was found dead in Chelmsford, England on Tuesday, and police say that her boyfriend is responsible for killing her. Ashley Wadsworth, 19, had never left Canada before flying to the UK to move in with Jack Seppel, who she met online. After flying to the UK in November, things seemed to be going well. According to Yahoo News, Wadsworth posted photos on her Facebook of her and Seppel visiting tourist spots, having dinners, and smiling at the camera. But things turned tragic on Tuesday when Wadsworth's body was found in Staples' bed. She'd been stabbed to death. Seppel was allegedly found lying next to her body. According to CBC News, neighbors contacted police after hearing a disturbance in the home. When police arrived at the scene, they found Wadsworth dead. They arrested Seppel and charged him with murder. During a Thursday morning hearing, prosecutors said that Seppel and Wadsworth had met online, according to BBC News. Dressed casually in red pants and a gray sweatshirt during the hearing, Seppel did not enter a plea and only confirmed his name, address, date of birth, CTV reports. Authorities have not released the motive in the case. Seppel has been remanded into custody until this next hearing. Authorities are asking neighbors to submit their surveillance video or anyone else with information to submit a tip online at essex.police.uk. So, there you go. When your 19-year-old decides to go to the UK to go live with the man that she met online.
That would be the part where you say, let's not do that.
Yeah. I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want.
You can. So when you then die or you're kidnapped, don't call me.
That'll never happen.
Hey, well, this is going to be unfortunate when I attend your funeral. And my local news outlet will report your passing. And again, I know the weather girl. She's got a new haircut. What was that? Right. What was that TV station again? I just can't remember.
he's got some lovely tattoos, especially the facial tattoos. Those are the ones that you go, this is interesting. And she looks like a real nice, innocent girl. And she was probably, you know, thinking, I don't know what the fuck she was thinking. I can't even contemplate what the fuck she was thinking. I'm so in love.
To confirm, she's not alive?
She's dead.
Oh, man.
Stabbed. So, I don't know. It's interesting. We're in a world where we can have more access to information like this and these horror stories than ever before. We don't just have to wait for it to be reported on by John Stossel on 2020 on Friday nights. Anytime you want, turn on the podcast, turn on this, turn on that, and you'll hear cautionary tales of shit people do. But it seems like these cautionary tales don't slow a lot of people down. Although I wonder, like, are these people who are the ones that listen to these cautionary tales? Or if you were to, like, bring this up, they'd be like, what's Dateline? I've never heard of that.
It's the amount of information that can be consumed has grown exponentially, and the human brain has not. So it's not a wonder why it's hard to comprehend. It's hard to digest.
Sure. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of The Dark Side Of. If you like the show, become a Dark Sider. Check out our website, darksidepod.com, or go to patreon.com and click Become a Dark Sider at darksidepod or patreon.com and search Dark Side Of. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, and help keep us on the air. Be sure to press subscribe at every platform you are listening to us on. Until next time, for all of us at The Dark Side Of, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.